Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q&A day. So we are going to do some Q&A. Let me tell you how this works. I've already got one question that I pulled straight from the Facebook group that I want to answer that I thought would be good for all of us. And then you can just put your questions inside the Q&A box. So all you got to do is wherever you're watching from, if you'll put your questions inside the Q&A, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Coach Betsy on, and she's going to answer some of the questions directly to the person who asks. But if it's a question that lots and lots of people could get some help on, then I'm going to answer it out loud. So that's how Q&A works, and we are going to get all the things done today. So I want to start with a couple of announcements, just because it's great to hear announcements. By the way, I almost stood up doing this call today, and I may end up standing up. I have been thinking about how to get more movement in my days. I'm probably a lot like most of you who, like, once my workout's done, this ass is pretty much planted the majority of the day. So I've been thinking about, I don't have a stand-up desk. I actually have a very beautiful desk that I love. So I don't have to stand up. So it's hard for me to work and do it, but I do have a lot of calls. I have a lot of teachings that I do. And I was like, my ass should get up. Like, I should just get up and do some of those. But I did not have time to rearrange everything. So I'm going to sit and maybe I'll do it in the middle. All right. Announcements. Do not forget, next month, November, is the, we do a book study inside of NoBS once every quarter. So in November, we are firing up the book study again. It is not mandatory. So if you don't like to read, this is just basically what I just call one of the awesome things about being a part of our community is that we try to tap into the various needs, the various ways that all of you like to learn. I also like to do a book study once a quarter, mainly because I don't want to be your only teacher. I know some of you just about only listen to me. I think that's great. Trust me, I have already listened to almost 2 hours of personal development this morning from the various teachers that I listen to. And you will hear me very often quote them, or I will think, okay, this is how we'll teach it in this membership. So even if you don't have the kind of life where you can go out and read books and be in other memberships and listen to podcasts and stuff, and you really need to constrain, I do want you to know that you are getting the benefit of being influenced by all of these teachers that I consume. And I think that's important for you to know. Like, you know, what I'm really good at is understand, like, I always feel like my superpower as like your weight loss person, the person you listen to, your Oprah, whatever you want to call me. I think one of the superpowers that I have is I was overweight for so long. I don't know why I'm getting emotional about it, but I really get how to listen to this content from a place of I need help, and from a place of I need this to make sense, to change my life, and to get my weight loss shit in order. And so when I'm listening to content, I'm not listening for Corinne. Like, I feel like I wear all of your brains, all of your hearts, all of your desires, your dreams. I feel like I have a really good way of kind of creating a container for that and having it inside me. And I listen to it that way. So then I can come back and teach and give y'all the best information. But I know some of you want more. You don't want to just hear it from me. It is a lot easier for you to hear other authors, other speakers and stuff say it in their own way. You know, like, I am often accused of yelling. I don't know where this comes from. But, you know, some of you, like, a lot of you will say, like, I love it when I get to hear the softer side of Corinne. A lot of you, like, there are so many authors out there that are saying very similar things to me, but they're not yelling and they're not cussing and they're saying it very scientifically and stuff, but we're all kind of drumming the same beat. So we pick books that I think are helpful. And I try to pick books from authors that I feel like really think about their people. And so next month we are doing Soundtracks, which is from John Acuff. I've been a big fan of John's for a long time. I've recommended his books forever. He happens to be a Nashville native. We don't like go out and have beers or anything, but I feel like as many times as I've talked to him over the years, I feel like I know that he really has a passion for this. Like he wants to help people rewrite their scripts. And so he is going to, not only are we going to read his book as a group next month, but if you struggle with self-sabotage and you really want to work on it, reading his book and doing the book study next month could be very helpful. It is a great companion to our own Ending Self-Sabotage course that we have inside of No BS. And it, you know that you're self-sabotaging. Like, let me just give you the definition. So self-sabotage is where you have a lot of unconscious beliefs playing in the background that you haven't yet been able to unearth through your journaling, or maybe you're not journaling, but you see yourself constantly showing up in a way that you know you don't want to, and you don't understand. It's like, I know I really want to lose weight, but I don't understand why I don't just start doing the 24-hour plan. I know I really want to lose weight, but on the weekends, I'm still doing this. That is self-sabotage, when you can't articulate why you're acting against your own dreams and desires. And so my Ending Self-Sabotage bonus course plus his soundtracks book could be a very powerful combination for you on really learning, like, oh, this is what self-sabotage is like. This is the soundtracks that I play in my head. Here's how I can start hearing them. Here's how I can get aware of them and how I can start affecting some change, because that's what we all want to do when we start learning what we're thinking. What you don't want to do, and this is key to everything, you do not want to be in judgment mode when you hear this stuff. Your like habit trackers, your assessments, finding the thoughts that are lurking beneath the surface that you need to change, they are not bad. This is not like the, here's the list of things that are broken, or here's the things that don't work in my life. Like a lot of times what we do is we look at all that information and we apply a meta thought to it of, and here's the reasons why I'm so broken, and here's the things that are bad about me. That's not what all that information is. That's an interpretation of it that leaves you feeling some lack. It leaves you feeling a little gross, a little bad, a little terrible. When you start looking at all of it, awareness and seeing your habits, seeing your results, seeing your scores and stuff, that is your roadmap to where you want to go. All of those things that you're looking at are telling you, these are the things to overcome to get to the next step, to get to the next thing. Those who look at those things are the people that move forward. The people that sit back and are terrified to look at their thoughts and like, oh my God, I'm going to be so broken. And whenever you find something like, oh my God, I'm so stupid, why do I think those things? Like the people that judge it or avoid it are the people who always say, I don't know why I can't seem to do the things I want to do. That's the best way to stay stuck. And it's so not needed. Like your self-judgment is not needed. It's optional. So when you hear yourself wanting to pick apart your data and make it mean something bad about you, you need to stop it and just say, I don't do that anymore. One of the things we learned at October camp is our list of I don'ts. One of the I don'ts should be, I don't judge my thinking anymore. I don't beat myself up for my results. I don't beat myself up over my data. I use my data. I examine my thoughts. I allow compassion for how I think. And I slap something onto the back end that moves me forward. The reason why you're in No BS, and the reason why you're not at Noom, let me just tell you right now. So we have an exciting big ass project happening in 2022. For all of you who've been like asking for I can't give anything away because we're in the very baby stages, but let me just tell you, by the end of 2022, there's going to be some amazing changes to the website and the tools that we have here. We are investing heavy duty in technology next year. So in the meantime, Corinne is now a member of Noom, fixing to be a member of Weight Watchers again, fixing to be on the Optavia. I'm not going to be doing their stuff, but I will be snooping their stuff. I want to see what they're all doing. And I want to see, like, what tools make life easy? And then what are they doing that's just batshit wrong that we will never do? Noom, like, for anybody who thinks it's personalized or thinks that they're life coaching, wrong. Like, I'm just sitting there going like, oh my God, they're not even really explaining these concepts. I have had to manage my mind going through it because I am like, this is a disservice to women. I'm just, whoa. So anyway, Corinne's managing her mind, but there's some exciting things on the horizon. And one of the things that I'm learning as I'm like investigating and doing all this is, how am I going to make your weight loss life easier? And between now and then, the best thing that I'm going to be able to do for you, and the reason why you're not in all of those other platforms and doing their bullshit stuff, that's like, I don't even know if it's Kool-Aid life coaching. It does a disservice to the fucking Kool-Aid. Like, I don't know, like water with like a squeeze of salt. I can't even give a lemon in it. You're here for the change in how you think. You're here because we're actually teaching you what gets in the way. And that's why you're here. And you're here to learn that your brain and the things you do are not a problem. Your thinking doesn't make you bad. Like, what you do and don't do is not a statement on your morality. We're here to truly figure out what goes on in your mind so that we can start working towards a mindset that you want, that will take you to the places that you want, that will make eating healthier feel like a gift instead of feeling like a punishment. And that takes unwinding a lot of the soundtracks that we play in our head. So next month will be great. Here's how you can order the book. Let me say this. If you've already ordered the book from someplace else, please don't feel bad, but it is very helpful if when you order the book on Audible or Kindle or however you want to read it, if you'll do it through my link, because we have other authors next year that I've already hand-selected that I would love to reach out and have them come into the membership and do a private Q&A for all of us. The way to get an author's attention is to show them how many books we sell. Like, I promise all of you, I do get a little bit of money off of an Amazon link, but it is literally pennies. Like, it is not make it rain cash. But what it does is it allows us to track. So if you go to the website and you go to Planner Plus My Extras, there is a button called Our Favorite Things. We have moved John's book to the top. So if you are going to do the book study, or you're going to recommend it to your friends inside the membership, you know, I highly recommend all of you in accountability groups, all of you read the book together. If you'll go to my faves page and you'll order it from there, that's going to allow us to be able to reach out to people like Mel Robbins next year and some of the authors that like I really want to have in here because they're changing lives and writing books that I think perfectly complement us. So next weekend on Saturday, October 30th at 9 a.m. Central Time, Coach Yesenia, she's going to hold a call to explain how the book study works and introduce you to the material. Soundtracks is going to be a great companion to do in handling the holidays. One of the reasons why we end up fucking the holidays up for ourselves is because we have a lot of soundtracks about what our families think, what we should be eating, what we shouldn't be eating, that, you know, the holidays are just like a fucking food fest in our mouth. So I think doing that book along with the continued work we're doing in handling the holidays will be great to help you navigate this next 90 days so that you end the holidays feeling like you've got good habits, You're in control of your eating. You're in control of your thinking and your emotions. And you're really teed up to make 2022 amazing, like beyond what you've ever done before. So we're desperately trying to make sure that we're giving you materials that set you up for success. There will also be, we always, with our book studies, we have like a little study guide that we pull together with our juicy quotes and things like that. I will be doing a call with John Acuff specifically just for our members. It will be, it's on the calendar now. So if you go to the website and you look at the training calendar, you can see when John and Corinne are going to do the No BS Woman Q&A together, where he's going to answer all of your questions. And then the book is 5 hours on audio, 240 pages. It's small and quick. So one of the things we don't want to do is overwhelm you during the holidays. Everything that we're teaching during the holidays is specific to helping you navigate the holidays in a way that you feel like a boss at the end. So also, next week, today's going to be general Q&A. Next week, we're going to do handling the holidays Q&A on deciding what you want for the holiday. So we'll break down the think, feel, do cycle so that you can bring your worksheet if you do it from the course. Just make sure that you remember that the entire handling the holidays course is only 45 minutes long. So for anybody sitting around thinking, oh my God, it's going to take so much time, you got 3 months, bitch, to listen to 45 minutes worth of content. We kept it short and sweet on purpose. And then we have the month of November, we're doing a lot of worksheet application calls where you can work on the worksheets from the course with the coaches, get solid. And then in December, we're going to be addressing, we're having special coaches come in. We're going to do a special binge call, binging during the holidays. Binging typically ramps up during the holidays, and it has a lot to do with the emotional triggers. It has a lot to do with the food triggers. So Coach Jane's coming in and she's going to do a special binge call. Even if you're just an overeater, it will be very helpful for you because you are around more of your triggers emotionally, relationally, and with food wise. We also have a grief coach coming in that I've been working with. She's really good at what she does. She specializes specifically in traumatic grief, which means someone has suddenly unexpectedly lost someone, but she coaches all grief. She's going to come in and she's going to do a special grief coaching call because the holidays tend to bring up our grief, the people that we've lost and loved, and we miss them. And so she's going to come in and do some coaching on that. And then we also have Judith Gatton coming back to do a style coaching because the holidays also bring up a lot of drama around, like we're going to be seeing people that we normally don't see. Some of us have parties to go to and we don't normally dress up and like all the things. So we tried to make sure that December was a lot of guest coaches who have expertise on some of the big issues that typically come up during the holidays. So that is what you guys are going to be able to look forward to over the next 3 months. It's going to be great, great, great content. And then if you have not done this so far, please make sure that you book January the 2nd. As my gift to the No BS Women, I want to give you guys a full day workshop that's going to kick off 2022. It's going to be about designing your 2022, where we're going to help you set some 90-day goals. There's going to be like teaching on all the key components. You will leave with a 90-day plan completed by the end of the day. We're going to do some real fun stuff. It's going to, think of it as camp light. So I will be in my office doing it, but we are going to have like a section where we have like a little 5-minute video, and then I'm going to call someone up. We're going to do some coaching. We're going to work through the worksheets. There's going to be all kinds of exciting things happening. There might be some surprise guests that day, but it's like a full day workshop. And then in December, I'm going to give you guys a couple of pieces of pre-work to do. So one thing will be your year in review. You'll get that before the end to set you up, because one of the things that we have to do before we can set goals, we have to build on the foundation of where we are. We have to know what's working, what we do well, what's missing in our life, what's not going so well. Because if you don't know where you're at, you can't plan where you're going. I want you to think about a GPS. A GPS cannot get you to your goal destination unless it knows where you're starting. The same thing happens when you set goals. Most people skip reviews. This is why most goals fail. People do not figure out where they're at first. They just are like, I'm just sick and tired. Time to lose some weight. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And then they get real busy on figuring out, like, here's the diet I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? You don't understand what you already do well. You don't understand what kind of life you want. You don't understand what's not working so that you make sure that whatever you plug in is what you're going to do addresses exactly what you're not good at yet. That is why, like, here I am joining these other programs. Not one fucking time have they asked me a single question about where I'm at. This is the reason why we give you all these tools. And the everything that we're going to be teaching you to set you up for 2022, you can use it every 3 months if you want to. You in 90 days, guess what? You can do that year review. Then you can watch that workshop one more time if you want. And every 90 days, you can review and build. Review and build. That is what No BS is about. We are not ashamed of how we show up. We are not ashamed of where we are at in our journey. You know what we are? Capable, grown-ass women who can take a look at their life and figure out what's working, what's not, and how to get to where we want to go. That is what I'm trying to teach all of you day in and day out. And that's why you're here. So book January 2nd. And then the one last thing before we get into questions is if you don't know, we have kind of a new feature. If you go to the video replays section on the website, one of the things we wanted to do was make it way easier to find the video replays that address what it is you need. So I'm actually going to let me share my screen. Hang on, let me pull up everything. I've got so many. I'm going to clean this up a little bit so that you're not going to see the world of hurt of the kind of monitor that I like to. Let me just move a few things. I want to show you exactly what I'm talking about. Share screen. Okay, I want to share the screen. Zoom. Thank you. Zoom is like asking me a bajillion questions. Okay. I am going to assume, because I can't see the chat. Well, here, I'll pull it up. Just make sure that, can you see the website? Tell me in the chat if you can. Yep. All right. Thank you. This is the video replays page. So when you log into No BS, you always get the homepage. This is what it looks like. It's got me staring at you in the face with your orientation and stuff. So if you go over to newsletter, calendar, and replays, and if you're on a phone, it's a little hamburger. And that, all that means is there's three lines. Hamburger, that's your menu. If you go to the video replays section, you're going to notice that under select a topic, we have added new topics and we have cleaned them up extensively for you. So we have got one called 20 minutes or less. So for all my bitches that are like me, who are like, man, I got like a 20 minute shower and a quick blow dry happening. What am I going to listen to? You can go to the 20 minutes or less. Then you can go to, we've got assessing your progress and data, body image and self-love, creating accountability, figuring out doable hunger, goal setting and finding your why, journaling, think, feel, do, on and on and on. What we did is we went through and we tried to figure out from all of you, what are the things that you are searching for the most, typing most in the search bar, asking most in the Facebook group, and we made categories out of them. So if you click on those, you will get those calls. So you can always see all the calls when you come up. That will always be the latest calls that have been loaded, or you can look for your particular thing that you want to get coached on. You want to hear classes on and do all kinds of stuff. We also have one called calls by type, because a lot of you are just like, I just want to listen to Corinne. We have a section called coaching calls with Corinne, so you'll only get mine. Some of you are like, I can't stand that cussing ass bitch. I just want to listen to the No BS coaches. We have something called coaching calls with the No BS coaches. We have my teaching calls and Q&As segmented. And then we have the live practice calls, which is if you are like, I want to see all of those live workshops where the coaches are taking people through worksheets, you have that too. So plenty of things. All you got to do is click on one and then you need to hit search. Don't forget to hit search. Otherwise, it won't pull it up. So assessing your progress and data, Number one, monthly planning and assessment call with Coach Betsy. And so we've tried to rank things also in order of what is most watched, all kinds of things. So that should make it so much easier for all of you to find the content that you're really wanting to watch and listen to. All right, let's see what the first question is. Is there a maintenance program in the works? I have my old chitties about maintaining. I'm at day 82 at goal, and I feel I need help. I am starting soundtracks. That will be helpful, Joan. There is a maintenance program in the works for next year. Here's the things that I would suggest if you, like, if you're in maintenance. If you will go to the website, did I close that? I think. So I did, this past weekend, I did a call on maintenance. Well, I coached someone on maintenance. I tell you what we'll do. We don't necessarily have a maintenance category, even though I have coached on it. I'll talk to the team about getting a maintenance category listed, but there are some maintenance calls that I've done. If you will look for calls, I've done a couple of coaching calls for people who have 20 pounds to maintenance. I've done special calls for them. But there is a program in the works. The biggest thing that you can do, though, is if you want to find those calls and listen to them, that would be great. But honestly, I would do Thoughts 2.0, the self-study course, and I would do it all on your shitty-ass thoughts about maintenance. There's not a lot of difference in maintenance between the way you lose your weight. Most of us just kind of settle into a lifestyle, and then our weight normalizes. Like, you're not just going to keep losing weight until you just have no weight to lose. Like, you're not just going to, like, go all the way. But most of us settle into a lifestyle. But our thinking is that there must be something missing. It must be so different in maintenance. What I have found over the last 15 years of maintaining my weight, which I get coached on all the time, is the biggest thing that we have to do is we have to start trusting we know what to do now. Most of us maintain our weight with a diet mindset. And I'm talking mindset. So don't mistake, I'm still dieting, but we're still, like, worrying if we're going to regain our weight. We're still thinking that if we gain a couple of pounds, it's a major problem, instead of telling ourselves we know exactly what to do. For me in maintenance, I still, like, the biggest differences between, I would say, weight loss Corinne and maintenance Corinne is I still plan my food, but I don't necessarily do the 24-hour plan every single day. But every single week, I do plan my food. Like, I am in such the habit of making good choices, and I'm in such the habit of trusting myself, I don't always have to make a 24-hour plan anymore for my food. I know that I've already thought about it at the beginning of the week. When I have decided what I'm eating this week and I've got my food prepared and everything, I get to just trust I know what to do and that I've taken care of myself. I don't have to think it through so hard anymore. But that is a learned skill. One of the things I'm personally working on is never getting on the scale ever again. This is something new. I have had 1,001 relationships with the scale. And one of the things that I uncovered recently, like as of yesterday, we've been building up to this in my own coaching with my coach. Sorry, my throat is thick this morning. It is allergy season for Corinne. One of the things that I've been working on with my coach is just really, truly understanding I've got this. I don't ever need to weigh again. Like, I have held on to this idea that I need to weigh every now and then just to make sure. Make sure of what? I have been in my range. My range is 150 to 160. I have literally been there for 15 years. And so now it's time for me to work on the mindset of letting go of the thoughts that keep me from fully trusting myself. From really understanding, I have this. Like, I know it, but there's still these little things. So there, like, when it comes to maintenance, I think the biggest thing is your life doesn't really change much. It's more of your mindset has to go from, you have to stop worrying, stop thinking you have to have all these things happening in order to keep your weight off. You have to switch over to, if you're going to keep those actions, that's fine. But we don't want to be doing them from, I have to do this or I'll gain weight mentality. If we're going to keep them, we want to do things from, like, one of the reasons why I like to do a weekly like plan, like, this is what I'm going to eat this week. And if I go on vacation, I like to go ahead and write out, you know, I just want to set myself up for success. I want to write ahead of time, like, here's the things I will eat and here's the things I won't. This is when I'll start drinking. So the reason I do that, it's not because I feel like I have to in order to keep my weight off. Now I do it because I've like learned it makes my vacations so much easier when I'm not having to make decisions in the moment, when I can just sit back and enjoy my time, knowing I've already taken care of everything. So I think the biggest difference that happens in maintenance that I want to write about is teaching all of you the switch in maintenance. There's not going to be much different in what you do, but it's time to let go of some of the things that you tell yourself about your ability to keep your weight off. How do you build like unwavering trust with yourself? How do you like just know you're going to do this? And even if for some reason you start regaining weight or something, like in those moments, how do you keep your maintenance mindset? How do you keep the mindset of someone who knows that they can be the weight that they want? It's just some choices. So that's really what's going to probably be in that program, but it is on the books for next year. I would love some more info about sitting with an urge versus willpowering through. I'm not sure if I'm willpowering or allowing the urge in a healthy way that can help me grow. This is very simple. When you have an urge, you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel desire and you're going to want it. So you're going to have thoughts like, I really want to eat. Here's all the reasons why I should. Here's all the reasons why it's like a good idea. You've had a long day. You deserve it. This, like all of that. Here's where you know, like, and you might even hear thoughts of like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to sit in this urge. Like, I wish this would go away. All of that's very normal. When we're willpowering, it's where we're demeaning ourselves. We're saying things like, you can't have that. You'll screw everything up if you like it. I want you to think about it as willpowering is when we start demeaning ourselves. We start talking to ourselves. Like we start talking at ourselves. So to me, sitting through an urge and like allowing it is a lot of like, yeah, I'm having an urge. And yeah, I don't like it. Like, this is how my body's feeling. You know, like my mind just keeps populating what's going on. But when you're sitting through an urge, there's one like part of it that goes unsung, which is, and I'm willing to do this. And as uncomfortable as it is, I just want to get through this one today just to see that I can. Or to say, it'll be over in 5 or 10 minutes. Can I just? There is like, I want you to think about the energy about it is like, I'm working with myself to get through this. I'm here with me. It doesn't mean it doesn't feel bad. It doesn't mean that it doesn't feel intense. But when we're willpowering, what we're doing is we're trying to force ourselves not to eat. You shouldn't eat because you'll gain weight, or you're yelling at yourself, or you're just like, this is so terrible. I can't believe you're doing this. I want you to think about it as it is a conversation where you feel like you're talking at yourself now. You do not need to talk at yourself. There's a difference between talking at yourself and being with yourself. So I want you to think of like urges as it's almost like it would be like being in labor. Like imagine being in labor. And if you have not had kids, just imagine something equally as bleh, all right. Getting a tooth pulled, getting stitches, just something like not fun, right? So it would be like, we're gonna use the example of labor. and your partner is there. And your partner's like, I know how bad it hurts. I know, just breathe. Like, you know, this one will pass soon. Like, think about what you would want a partner telling you. Now, let's imagine we're having labor pains and the partner's like, you shouldn't be whining so much. We shouldn't have gotten pregnant. All the, like, we did this to ourselves. This just sucks. I'm leaving. We'd all like take a bat to someone's nuts if they were doing that to us. But then this is what we do. We have an urge and we yell at ourselves for having an urge. We sit there and tell ourselves like how many terrible things are going to happen if we eat. And then we wonder why it feels intense. So it's like what we want is we want the discomfort of the urge because it is generating some cortisol and stuff. But what we don't want to do is layer on top of it. You know, we've got our shit sandwich. Now we're going to piss all over the top of it. We don't want that part. I have been a no BS woman since June, been fine on the water and sleep. So about eating to enough, but I will not journal. I just sit down and start hating myself. Then I would write the stuff that you hate. Why not? Here's the thing. What doesn't get a voice only has a voice inside your head. Let the paper have the voice. If nothing else, I know this sounds crazy, but I would much rather you write that shit down and see it and tell yourself, these are the things that I want to unlearn saying to myself. It's good to know that this is in my head. These are the things that when I don't write down, my brain uses against me all day long. The thing about journaling, and y'all can go and Google journaling studies. People who journal, even if you're going to journal the stuff that you don't like about yourself in the beginning, and you just end it each time with, and this is what I'm unlearning. This is the stuff I want to no longer believe. This is the stuff I believe today, but I'm glad I'm seeing it because now it gives me the opportunity to start thinking, what else could I think? Are there other things in my life that I'm ignoring because of this stuff? So much more helpful. So if you look at journaling studies, people who journal typically, and this is people who write about like their hopes, their dreams, the things they don't like about themselves and stuff. They almost always typically earn more money. They have more stable relationships. They tend to like on like happiness indicator scales and stuff. They out-test people who don't journal time and time again. Even if they're just journaling things they don't like about themselves because they feel like it's being seen. They feel like it's being heard. Their brain thinks there's something being done about it. And their brain is tricked into thinking they don't have to ruminate all day on it. They tend to test better in happiness scales. This is just the way it is. Now, y'all can sit there and argue with me all day long. I don't like writing and, you know, wah, wah, wah. All right. But here's the thing. Are you willing to hang on to your stories of, I don't like writing, I don't have time, and I only seem to be able to come up with stuff I hate myself? Are you willing to like, I'm all in on that in exchange for being one of the people who ends like all the people who studies show have better quality of life, feel like they have stronger relationships, show like that it's easier for them to improve their life because they're seeing what's going on inside their brain. Like, are you willing to trade all of those benefits to hang on to a couple of stories that you have about journaling? If you are, that's fine. But just know what you're trading out. That's the key. Friday makes a 1 year in no BS for me.
What would you recommend that I do to get my thoughts on track for year two? I have a plan to make a list of what I've changed for the better in year one. I have lots of data. I will keep moving forward. Just wondering what you would suggest. Here's what I would do if I was you, Lou. I would probably start with not no BS the course. Watch orientation one more time since this is your year two. Like, go back to orientation and watch it like the first time. And see if you hear something new. Our orientation is not like, here's how you do shit. Our orientation is all about getting you like in the mindset of a no BS woman. Then if I was you, I would go through basics 2.0, thoughts 2.0, and urges 2.0. I would go through, like, because it's your second year and you've been doing well and you're like, I've got my data, I got my stuff. I would go through what we call the 2.0 courses. So anyone that finishes No BS, one of the things that we've added to the program, if you haven't been through No BS in a while, if you go to the very last lesson of module 4, we have our next steps right there for you. And we tell you which courses we recommend that you do, depending on what problems you're noticing. So one of the things that you could do is you could do basics, thoughts, and urges 2.0. Another suggestion, Lou, is once you kind of write down, like when you do, you know, one thing that'll be good for you, Lou, is when we do in December, the year in review, you can do a micro version of that right now. Is what you could do is you could like, all right, looking back on my year, here are the three things I'm excelling in. And so that gives you an opportunity to say like, okay, there are things that I do well. All of you have three things in your life that you do well. Some of you are amazing moms. Some of you are amazing fur baby moms. Some of you are amazing partners. Some of you are amazing friends. Some of you are amazing employees. Some of you are amazing business women, like owners and stuff. Some of you are great at your hobbies. Some of you are athletes. Like, everybody has things. And you've got probably things that you do in no BS. Like, you're an amazing, like, you always make time to do 30 minutes of listening to content a week. Like, I'm really good at that. So you find the three things you've done really well this year that you want to like let it land inside of you. And then you think, okay, if I had to pick three things to work on, what would those be? And then look at the three and see if they have a common theme. Are they based in my thinking? Are these more actionable things? Like, where's the commonality? Then go to our self-study courses and find a self-study course that addresses the common theme. And if you have a trouble figuring that out, you can always, once you do your 3 and 3, take it to Ask Coaches and let them suggest what your next best course would be. But I think it's going to be great for you when we do the big year-end review. Like, that'll be something you guys will all do like kind of on your own. We're going to send you all the materials so that you're ready for our January 2nd workshop. I still have old shitty that when I eat off plan, when I'm aware and very deliberate, that I tend to keep eating off plan. I know it's an old habitual thought. And as much as I try to tell myself next best decision, I keep eating when I'm not hungry and eat past full. I'm not restrictive on my plan. And even plan when I do eat off plan, I'm eating foods that are on my plan. Any suggestions? Thank you. Yeah. So the first thing is to remind yourself of like the old shitty that you're trying to address is when I eat off plan. This is just your interpretation of what keeps happening. I tend to keep eating off plan. So what you're doing, and this is a thing that a lot of us do, is we go to, well, I'm just noticing that when I eat off plan, I keep eating off plan. I want you to tell yourself that's really good information. But the problem is that if you're only, like, if you just keep looking at that and you just keep looking at that, then you're not going to be thinking about the future version of you. So I want you to just take a minute to think about the future version of you who eats off plan and then stops the behavior and just says, I'm getting back on track. What is different between her and you right now? There must be some thinking. Like, I try to tell myself next best decision. All right, if you're telling yourself that now, that's not going to work for you. It's showing that that thought doesn't have enough stickiness. So I would really look at when I eat off plan, even if I'm telling myself next best decision, Is there something where I'm also telling myself, you always keep eating? Or maybe you're hard on yourself for it. Like the first thing that you do is like when you eat off plan, you say things like, this is terrible. This is, you shouldn't have done this. Whatever's happening in the nanosecond, that's what we've got to address first. Because the future version of you probably eats off plan. And when she does, she's like, not a big deal. I don't have to keep eating off plan. And then she just moves on. She's probably not trying to force herself to get back on plan. She's probably not overthinking it. So which means is that you today has to notice if you're trying to force yourself back on plan. And what are you going to tell yourself that's not forceful? Even thoughts like next best decision sometimes can be said this way in our head. You should make the next best decision. You have to make the next best decision. Because if you don't, if that narrative is happening, that's what we have to clean up. That's the part where we have to be like, okay, I've had an off-plan eat. My future self doesn't make this a big deal, which means right now, I do not make this a big deal. I just tell myself, we enjoyed it. We like remind yourself, like, you know, self, you always get to plan the things you want right now. And like, I think your thing is, it's not really, I keep eating when I'm not hungry and eat past full. So it sounds like it's not really your off-plan eating. So getting some clarity around what I do is I keep eating. Why? Like my future self has figured out why eating past full seems like an option and has realized I don't want to do that anymore. Why doesn't she want to do it? And then in those moments, when you start catching yourself doing it, saying like, I just want to remind myself of all the reasons why I don't want to do this. I know that I'm going to feel this way, whatever. You can try even that. But it's a lot of like figuring out for you, what is really the conversation? It's like, this is a big like aha moment for a lot of you. What most of you do is you get very aware of a pattern that you have, like eating past full, eating too much, eating off plan. And you're like, that's bad. So I need a new thought. And what you don't do is you don't get familiar enough with what are you thinking and feeling in those moments? What's going on for you? So that means for a lot of you, when you first start unwinding why you keep eating past enough and full, you're going to spend a week or so, maybe two or three, listening to the conversation you have around it and watching yourself do it to gather your information way before you end the behavior and way before you change the conversation. A lot of you thought switch a little too soon before you really understand what's going on. And I think that's what's going on here, Anonymous, is that you are like, you're aware of your pattern. You're aware of the thought you're trying to use, but you don't exactly know, like, well, what am I talking about in those moments? So for all of you, I know this sounds crazy, but to lose your weight for good and to speed up your future weight loss, sometimes in the beginning, it's going to feel like it's going a little slower. It's not. A lot of you just spending 2 to 3 weeks really listening to the conversation, really understanding like, this is the stuff I tell myself. No wonder I keep eating because I haven't really been listening for that. I've been so busy trying to make myself stop eating and like not being able to do it because I don't really understand even why I'm doing it to begin with. But when you understand all of that stuff, then what ends up happening is when you do end it because you understand it and you've unwound it, you're not making those mistakes anymore. You rarely keep making those mistakes. You kind of unwind a behavior. You unwind one part of it. And so a lot of your future weight loss gets faster. So for some of you just listening and stuff, just even getting really aware of what's going on in your head, allows you to sometimes autocorrect a little sooner than you would. Weight loss happens in autocorrects. Even if you're overeating and you catch yourself and you really understand like why you're talking yourself into it and be like, oh, I didn't realize I was saying all those things to myself. It's no wonder I want to keep eating. I think I'll just go ahead and stop and see what that's like. And sometimes you won't, but you'll have your information regardless. And then in 2 to 3 days, you've got way more information to build upon. And in 2 to 3 days, you're auto-correcting a little bit. I think what I see a lot of you do, especially when it comes to stopping at enough, is you think you have to eliminate overeating in order to lose weight. That is not true. You just have to get really good at noticing when you do it and why, so that you can stop overeating a little bit sooner. There's a lot of weight loss that happens there. I overate a lot on the way down the scale. I just wasn't overeating like a fucking asshole. Like I had went from what I would call unconscious overeating to where I was eating way past. Like I didn't end until I was practically sick or so full I couldn't stand myself. So when I really started paying attention and stuff, I still ate to full and past full. I just didn't eat till my eyes were rolling back into my head. A lot of you are going to be able to cut back some of that overeating and it not feel like you're missing out on anything. It's just once you get conscious, you're like, oh, like 3 more bites ain't going to make a big difference. I'm going to eat. Like I remember when I went from eating a full pizza to a half a pizza, I didn't feel real cheated because I just started paying attention. I was like, I really like can't breathe. I didn't even realize I was doing that to myself because I was just eating so fast and not paying attention. And when I agreed I was going to pay attention to my eating, I started just noticing little things that were easy to give up. So for a lot of you, that's what the like you've got to let go of the idea that those changes don't matter. Those changes aren't good enough. You've got to let go of the diet mentality of like, I've got to go from eating a whole pizza to chicken and broccoli today because that's what the diet industry has told me. That's what the new map is telling me. So that's some of the things to work on. There was one question that I wanted to address that I pulled specifically, and we'll end on this one. Getting started or restarting and how to make it easier. So one of the things I think that there's like that I watched as a few questions coming through in Facebook is there's like phases to the basics. You do not like I lay out the four basics in the beginning for you so that you know what we're working towards. But like the person who loses their weight, the future self has like mastered how to make their 24-hour plan with love and confidence, and it feel like something that you're doing for yourself. And those 24-hour plans evolve the whole time. Your future self drinks water because over time, you've learned how much better you feel with it. You notice that it cuts your cravings. You've been able to figure out how to get it in through the day despite your schedule and stuff. Your future self has learned how to prioritize sleep and how to slowly cut back on your personal expectations. And you've learned how to love yourself enough to not need 3 hours of vegging out to Netflix and popcorn every night in order to have your me time. You've learned how to put yourself to bed and treated that as self-care and me time. Your future self understands doable hunger on both sides and doesn't think of it as restrictive anymore and doesn't have to have all of those arguments. But in the beginning, there are all of these phases that go along with it. So one of the things that I want you to understand is you don't have to start with them all at one time and you don't have to do them perfectly in the beginning to get your results. So if you're having a hard time starting, it almost always comes back to your thinking about them. And one of the most, I think, common thought errors that I see is I'm not doing the four basics perfectly. I'm still overeating. I'm not consistent enough. Those are all thought errors, especially I'm not consistent enough. Terrible way to think about it. Think about how that feels. It feels bad. It feels shamey. It feels wrong. So one of the things that I like to think about is I'm learning how to be consistent. And that starts with this baby step. So for a lot of you, what I want you to do is I want you to think about all of the four basics. And I want you to think about, what are my like baby steps to get them started? So I always like to use the idea of the 24-hour plan. Almost all of you, when I'm like, a lot of you won't do your 24-hour plan at all because you will sit there and tell yourself, like, I'm not good at planning. This is very restrictive, blah, 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 blah. Then I'll walk someone who has that mindset through creating a 24-hour plan. And I'll be like, well, what if we just start with breakfast? Oh, well, breakfast is easy. And I'm like, all right, well, let's move on to lunch. Oh, well, you know, Monday through Friday, lunch is real easy. Like, I pretty much eat the same things. Like, a lot of you have like easy wins in the 24-hour plan. You really are only struggling with dinner or thinking you shouldn't have snacks. But you're not really struggling, and it's not really as hard as you're making it out to be. You're throwing away the whole 24-hour plan because you're focused on like the 10% you don't do well, or the 30% you don't do well, or the 60% you don't do well. It's like, what if we don't do that anymore? What if we just start with convincing ourselves, I really could make a 24-hour plan each day, and I will start with the meals that are the easiest for me to do, and I will skip the other ones for now. I'm just going to prove to myself, this isn't as hard as I make it out to be. And I'm going to prove to myself that this will work because I know Corinne has thousands of women who've used it and it's worked for them. Thousands of women who started just like me saying it's some bullshit. It's all these things. Somehow they figured out how to get to the other side. So I'll start with this. The same thing happens with enough. A lot of you think like you have got to always stop at enough in order to be working on your basics or you're doing it wrong. Your brain is all about that binary. I'm on or I'm off. I'm good or I'm bad. Food is good or it's bad. Binary, binary, binary. And that is not the way it is. So like if you're working on enough, for some of you who have a lot of diet trauma, where stopping at enough is triggering you to feel restricted, triggering you to remember all the times that you were put on a diet and all this other stuff, here's what I would advise. In the very beginning, I would make sure that I've listened, or if I'm restarting, to module 2 of No BS, the thought work, I would do my work on my diet rules and my thinking. And with enough, I would practice stopping at enough on meals where I felt completely safe, where I could show myself in some meals, it's possible to stop at enough. So if it's possible in these meals, it's probably possible in other meals too, that sometimes I'm scared of. And so that's where you use the journaling. That's where you use module 2 of No BS. And you learn the think, feel, do cycle. And you start uncovering some of this stuff. You go to thoughts 2.0 and you keep working on those things. And you create safety around your food. So breaking down the, like if you're having a trouble restarting or you're having trouble even getting started, really want to implore you to figure out micro steps to take first. What are the smallest of ones? What are the very first few steps I can take to get my wins, to prove to myself I am committed, that I can feel some momentum and feel good? That is all I did in the beginning. Please don't think that it's not good enough. You have to, like, your first step is shutting that voice down and saying, like, no, you know what's not good enough? Telling myself that I'm not going to do something because I'm afraid it won't work. That's not good enough. So if I'm going to say that, I'm going to at least tell the truth. Do you know what else is not good enough? Not trying things and proving to myself that it can work. It's not good enough for me to sit around and think I'll probably fail. It's not good enough for me to sit around and think I can't do it. It's too hard. Let me prove to myself that it might be easier than I think. Let me prove to myself it might be possible I can learn this. Let me prove to myself there's thousands of women in this group who can help me with this. There's coaches and ask coaches who can help me with this. There's calls that Corinne has coached that I could listen to that will help me through this. If we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it in a way that empowers you. Hey, let me tell you what else is not good enough. Useless fucking questions like, why am I not writing plans? Useless. You could be thinking, who can I reach out to figure this out? How could I start today in the easiest possible way to write my plan? Another useless question. Why am I not losing weight? Well, you could be saying, how can I make a choice today that will help me? What could I go on the website and listen to that could help me if I'm on a plateau? Help me if I'm on a stall. I'll go to those video replays. What could I listen to that could shake that loose? What question could I be asking the coaches? What information can I give the coaches and ask coaches that will help me break this problem down? Why can't I stay committed? Terrible question. Your brain will tell you all the reasons why. Well, you're a terrible fuck. Like, it will give you all the reasons why. Don't ask them. So rather than saying, why can't I stay committed? You ask yourself, what am I willing to do today that I am a 10 on getting it done? Even if it's one thing, I want to prove to myself that I can stake my claim today and I can fucking do it. What is that going to be? And it gets to be doable. It gets to be easy because losing weight is about learning how to be committed. It's about learning how to make things easier on myself. It's unlearning, complicating, catastrophizing, worrying, and terrorizing myself every single day as if this can't be done. That's what I'm willing to get rid of. So I want you to make sure that you are thinking about, like, when you're going to restart and when you're going to do things, that you check in with your thinking. That you're listening to yourself. Decide, like, today, I'll be mindful with one piece of food. One decision with my food today. I'm going to start tracking some data at a level that works for me. I don't have to track all the things. But I can start tracking some of the things. So I want you to make sure that you do all of that. My suggestion for all of you who are having a hard time getting started or restarted is if you haven't listened to No BS, you listen to it. The videos are short. They don't take a long time. When your brain is like, I don't have time for it. If you got time to overeat, then here's what I would do. When you're overeating, at least plug in one of the videos. Don't tell yourself you don't have time. You may not want to because of what you're thinking about yourself. You may not want to because you keep telling yourself you can't do it. But don't mistake not wanting to in the moment for all the excuses that we pile on ourselves. All right. That's it for today. Y'all have a great one. I'll see y'all on Sunday. I'm actually going to Las Vegas this weekend. Chris and I are starting our poker careers, our winter pokering. We will be there for 3 days playing poker and hopefully winning all the money. And I'm actually pretty good at the poker. I love the poker, but we'll be there, but I will still be with you on Sunday morning. I will be coming to you live from Las Vegas to do our coaching together. So y'all have a good one, and I'll see you then. Bye, y'all.